Blog Talk Radio.
So this is it, the main event, two undefeated boxers, the Regis Prograis from the United States of America, a couple of years older than Josh Taylor, more experience in terms of ring generalship, but he is the smaller man, 5'8" inches tall, looks the bigger differential when you see them in person, but that is the official difference there, 2.5 inch reach advantage, 2 southpaws with impeccable records, as you can see here. Prograis, more experience to turn pro in 2012 after disappointment and not making the London Olympics. Commonwealth champion Josh Taylor in the amateurs, making his debut in 2015, but making a quick fire ascent through the ranks of professional boxing.
Some have Taylor up, it is what you like. Real quick on contact, but for me,
Josh Taylor landing heavy shots now on the right and then the left, and
good
looking
start
to open up at this stage. Prograis comes back at him though and meets him in the middle of the ring, and Taylor wants to have a
great
step, and Prograis dips and throws the right jab to the face and bobs and weaves, and Taylor looks.
Hey everybody, welcome to Chilling with Cheese. I'm back, and I wanted to start off the show with a clip from this past Saturday night's a great fight between Josh Taylor and Regis Prograis. It turned out the way I expected. I thought these were two elite fighters fighting for the unified IBF and WBA super lightweight championship, and also the coveted Muhammad Ali trophy. It was held at the O2 Arena in London, and it's a fantastic fight, a back and forth fight. And I was surprised that even though Josh Taylor was the taller guy, I felt that a lot of taller guys are not necessarily good inside fighters. I thought he did really well to get off on the inside. And to help us talk about that, we're going to have a great, great guest coming up in just in about 5 minutes. Andrew McCart from IFL TV over in the UK, one of the leading media boxing outlets over in the UK, and he's a great, great guy. I met him a couple of years ago at Madison Square Garden for the Terrence Crawford fight, and really nice guy, and I look for him on to give us a UK perspective on Josh Taylor versus Regis Prograis, and also we'll take a look ahead in a couple of days. It will be the big fight between Sergey Kovalev and Canelo Alvarez. That'll be taking place at MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Of course, they'll be going for the light heavyweight championship of the world. Canelo's going to be moving up about 15 pounds to take on Sergey Kovalev, who had a big 11th round TKO victory over Anthony Yardy back in August. And we'll talk about that some, of course, on December the 7th over in Saudi Arabia. The rematch, Andy Ruiz Jr. against Anthony Joshua. That'll be at the – they constructed a 16,000-seat arena, outdoor arena there for the fight. And I'm interested to see how the fans over in Saudi Arabia and the boxing media will – take to such a big heavyweight fight over there. Of course, the first fight you all remember was a very good fight at Madison Square Garden between these two guys. And he shocked the world that night, and a lot of people didn't realize how technically skilled he is. And he got knocked down early, got up, and was able to impose his will on the big man, Anthony Joshua, out of England. And I look forward to that rematch. I think Anthony Joshua has something to prove. I think a lot of his naysayers believe that he doesn't have what it takes to come back and regain the title. We'll see. And as I've stated quite a few times before, a lot of the great champions have lost, and what makes them even greater is able to get off the deck and come back and win again. So I look forward to that fight. But yeah, man, it's great to be back, and hopefully we'll have some great guests coming in next week. But yeah, those are the main topics we're going to talk about. in the next hour. And if you feel like you want to call in, the phone number is 516-453-9460. That's 516-453-9460. Going back to the Josh Taylor versus Regis Prograis fight, a lot of people have speculated after the fight. There's a lot of been Twitter words going on between Josh Taylor and his camp and Gervonta Davis and his camp. Of course, Gervonta has a big fight coming up in December in Atlanta, Georgia, against Yoriorkis Gamboa. I think he should be concentrating more on that fight and not count your chickens before they hatch. Obviously, he's going to go into the fight a heavy favorite, but it depends on what kind of Yoriorkis Gamboa comes out, because we've seen him at his absolute best, and we've seen him not look so good. So when he fought Terrence Crawford, I thought he was really good. Just that Terrence Crawford is just a fantastic fighter, but he had Terrence Crawford hurt a few times in that fight, if you go back and watch the fight. But I think that was something where Terrence Crawford showed the true grit of a champion and was able to come back and stop Gamboa. So that'll be a good fight. You'll have two guys who pack a lot of power, and I think this will be the first time that someone has faced Gervonta Davis that has a lot of power. I mean, you know, really good power, packs a powerful punch, and Gamboa. So it'll be interesting to see. And when my buddy Andrew gets on here, I'm going to ask him a question, very serious issue we've been dealing with in the boxing world over the last year, and as far as deaths happening in the ring, and that has prompted some talk about going back to what they used to do 40, 50, 60 years ago with the same day weigh-in, not allowing guys to rehydrate 15, 20 pounds and putting their body through extreme, going from one end of the spectrum to the other as far as, you know, gaining weight back and, you know, rehydrating. And I don't know if that has anything. I'm not a doctor. I don't know if that has anything to do with the recuperative skills of, you know, the fighters once they're in the ring. So I'll ask him and see what he thinks. I've always thought, and I've said this and I've talked about this over the last 5 years, that I thought they should go back to the same day weigh-in. Of course, you may, as far as the business aspect, you may take a hit on that, because now with these big fights, it's like a spectacle. If you see a Canelo Alvarez fight or Triple G, or, you know, before then a Floyd Mayweather, and now with Manny Pacquiao, the weigh-in is just truly an event all its own. I mean, yeah, the fans, and a lot of times, they don't charge to get in, but you're still selling T-shirts and, you know, concession stands, and a lot of these casinos really profiting off of the same day weigh-in. I mean, a day before the fight weigh-in. So, yeah, man, it's an interesting talk. But, yeah, I'm glad to be back. And, again, if you'd like to call in, 516-453-9460, 516-453-9460. And we may even touch on at the end of this show, the return of Conor McGregor and the Octagon. See what Andrew thinks of that, and see what the fans over in Ireland and Scotland and England, and what do those fight fans think about the return of the Notorious One. Quite a character in the ring, brings a lot of buzz, a lot of money is circulated when he fights, and I know that Dana White and UFC will be glad to have him back. I guess the one thing with him is just keeping him tame outside the ring. You know, he works hard, you know, he trains hard, but You know, if you can keep him out of certain situations outside the ring, he'd be okay. But I guess that's the case with a lot of folks. So, you know, we may touch on that. But, yeah, Andrew should be calling any minute now. So, yeah, I will get his take. And I'm glad he's able to come on and share his thoughts. Again, they're one of the premier media outlets over in the UK. So I always look forward to seeing what he has to say and see what his take on certain things are. And yeah, you guys feel free to call in because I'd like to know what you guys thought about the Prograde fight over the weekend. So we'll see. Andrew, is that you, buddy?
That's me, mate. How are you?
Hey, mate. How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Like, all right. Good to have you on. Yeah, man. I know it's pretty late over there, and I appreciate you coming. I'm not going to keep you too long. How's everything going over there?
Everything's going good, mate. You know, just obviously a busy weekend last weekend with Josh Taylor and Regis Progray, and then another weekend here in the UK. I'm in Manchester right now with Anthony Crawler, Katie Taylor's fight, and a tough fight with Christina Lenardo up at 140. She's moving up on weight to become a two-weight world champion. So it's been busy, my friend.
That's good, and we can dip right into that. And I was just telling everyone who's listening, Josh Taylor and Regis Progray, that was a fantastic fight. And for a lot of people who don't know, I told him that you're part of IFL TV, one of the premier media boxing outlets over in the UK. What did you think of that fight?
Well, I was there. I was sitting ringside, and obviously being that I am Scottish and I've known Josh for a long time, I was supporting Josh, but I've met Regis as well. I met Regis out in Glasgow when he came over for Josh Taylor versus Baranchik. I met him again out in Dallas for Hooker Ramirez fight. And he's just one, Regis is just one cool guy, man. He's probably one of the genuine down-to-earth guys I've ever met in this sport. He's such a cool, cool cat. But yeah, as the fight itself, it just, what an advertisement for boxing. The two of them, it was just the skill set, the ring IQ, the inside fighting. It was just, it's probably the fight of the year for me. And it's probably one of the best fights I've ever seen live, ringside. Just two guys at the elite level going at each other, which you don't see as much nowadays. You got loads of people don't want to fight each other, don't want to, like, obviously Errol Spence Crawford for one. That's probably a perfect example. Do you know what I mean? It's so it's good and refreshing to have the number one and number two in the division just going at it, sharing 12 rounds with each other, and then no excuses from Regis. You know what I mean? It was just such a cracking. The whole thing was great. The whole event.
Yeah, as far as Josh Taylor, and I touched on him before you got on. For a guy with longer arms, he showed a real adept. I guess a adept way of fighting on the inside, which is really unusual for a guy with long arms. What did you think of that?
Josh is one of them fighters where he's got a great boxing skill. He can box off the back foot, he can jab, you know what I mean? He's got a nice backhand. But if you watch Josh against O'Hara Davis, which was a fight here in the UK, it was like a domestic fight a few years back, he fought on the inside. Baranchik in his last fight, he decided to box Baranchik on the inside. And again, with Regis, he sort of boxed on the inside. But I think because they're shorter fighters, and Josh is obviously quite tall for the weight, I think he likes to come down and fight on the inside against shorter fighters, because if you watch him against Ryan Martin, who's a taller fighter, and Victor Postol, who's a taller fighter, he sort of boxes and uses his skill set a little bit more. But when he fights somebody who's a little bit shorter than him, a lot shorter than him, then he sort of seems to fight on the inside. I don't know if that's a tactic that they use, but that's what I'm sort of noticing with Josh every fight. He sort of boxes and tries to take the fight to the shorter guys, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And another thing that I was really, really impressed with Josh Taylor is his quick combinations. And that's another thing. Like you say, he's a taller fighter for his weight class. But, man, his quickness was unbelievable. And most people going into the fight, I guess they assumed that Regis would have that advantage. But from the outset, I saw it, and I just thought that Josh was quicker. What did you think, being ringside?
I think they were evenly – if I'm going to say it, they were evenly matched. The only difference was the height. You know, I think that Regis, being that he's a southpaw as well, he's got fast hands, good head movement. Josh is similar. I know a couple of UK media guys had Regis winning. A lot of them guys had a draw, and a lot of the rest of the guys had Josh Taylor. So it was one of them fights where it's just who you fancied. There wasn't – like, I had Josh by two, three rounds. And I know a couple of guys had Regis by two, three rounds. Yeah, and then a couple of guys had a draw. So it's probably one of them fights where you'd want to see it again. Now, obviously, it's not going to be an immediate rematch because Josh will probably chase the Ramirez fight in some time if he gets past Victor Postol, if he fights Victor Postol, that is, to get all the belts. And if he becomes undisputed, I believe that Josh will move up to 147 where the money is. And I think Regis as well. I think Regis, he doesn't struggle at the weight. He does find it hard to get to 140.
Okay.
So I think Regis might move up to 147 as well. And then, like, I wouldn't mind seeing the both of them at 147, bigger, stronger. You know. So it's just one of the fights I would love to see again, whether it be stateside or back in the UK. I really don't mind. It was a cracking fight. Josh Taylor is the first unified world champion since Ken Buchanan in 1971, and the first Scotsman to win the Ring Magazine belt since 1971 as well. So just a great achievement for Josh, what he's done in the only 16 fights on his career. So over the moon for him.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that, and that's one of the main reasons I have it, because you're my Scottish brother, like I tell everyone. And if people don't know about Ken Buchanan, go back and look at him when he fought Roberto Duran at Madison Square Garden, one of the great fights. It was probably 45 years ago? But, man, that was great, man. And
like
I'm glad you brought that up. Now, as far as Josh Taylor, he just going into the fight, it was a lot of smack talk, and that by you being close up and personal with lead up to the fight, was a lot of that just to promote the fight, or did they really have bad blood towards each other?
Right, Robert, this is the thing. Regis and Josh Taylor, right? That's what made this fight so good. There was no fake hype. That was just, as you can see, there was no pushing or shoving. It was just two guys saying, I'm going to beat you. I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. I'm going to knock you out. You're going to knock me out. You can't knock me out. That's all it was. There was none of this, you're garbage. You can't fight. They had so much respect for each other, but they were just two guys confident enough going into the fight that they were saying, I'm going to beat you. And the other guy's saying, no, you're not. I'm going to beat you. That's all it was.
Right.
There was no fake hype. No, none of that nonsense that you see nowadays to try and promote a fight. That was absolute genuine. And there wasn't hatred there. It was just two young men confident in their ability going into the fight that they were going to beat the other guy. And it was, again, going back to it, it was refreshing to see. Even at the weigh-in, there was no shoving, there was no pushing or shoving or anything like that. They were just jabbing each other, saying, listen, this is it. You can't go anywhere. I'm going to see you tomorrow night, blah de blah de blah. And then at the end of the fight, if you watch the two of them, they just embraced, had so much respect
Absolutely.
For one another. And that's I think that's what... That's what I like about boxing. I like that sort of side of things. I think the fake hype stuff and flipping tables at press conferences and pushing and shoving and throwing punches here at weigh-ins, there's no need for that. I think the way Josh Taylor and Regis just handled themselves throughout the whole sort of fight week or the whole time the fight was announced in 9 weeks training camp, the way they handled the whole business was definitely refreshing to see.
That's great, man. And, of course, after the fight, you know, that's when – and we both know that's when a lot of other fighters come out of woodwork with trash talk. And I saw where Gervonta Davis had some things to say about Taylor. And what do you think about Gervonta and his antics to talk about other fighters?
Listen, you know when Josh Taylor's made it when you've got fighters who have no intention of fighting him calling out his name. He's got no,
right.
He's got absolutely no intent. It's clout chasing, as you say, it's clout chasing. He did it with Manny Pacquiao when he beat Thurman. He said, "Oh, I'm going to get on the phone to Al Heyman and make the fight with Manny Pacquiao." No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not going to do that.
Right,
you're not going
right.
to fight Josh Taylor. You're not going to do any of this. Fight Gamboa on the 25th of December, and then see where your career goes from then. But as soon as Lomachenko said he was moving back down to super featherweight, you moved up to lightweight. Do you know what I mean? It's like
right.
it's one of them ones. That I like Gervonta Davis. I think he's a great fighter. I'm not disputing that. I'm not going to argue against that. But I think he's clout chasing a little bit. Like he said, he would fight Manny Pacquiao after Keith Thurman. Now he's, as soon as just like 12 hours after Josh Taylor beats Regis Progre, he's like, "I'll fight Josh Taylor at 140." You've not even had a fight at lightweight yet. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
He's just one of them guys that's clout chasing, and he's trying to keep his name out there, which is fair play to him. If you want to keep your name out there, then that's the thing to do, is stay on the bandwagon, stay on something that's fresh and hot like Josh Taylor, because he's just come off that win. Jump on his name and ride that with your own name. That's exactly what he's doing. So, but I don't think he has any intention of fighting Josh Taylor. Not one bit.
Yeah, and he's from I know you know Gervonta is from my hometown. So
yeah, hometown.
Yeah. So I got a little affection for him. I hope I love when he's in the ring and not talking trash to guys. But like you said, and as far as Manny Pacquiao, and I tell people all the time, people say, "Oh, he's too old and too this." Manny continues to mow him down, doesn't he, Andrew?
Yeah. Yes, he does, yeah.
He's something else, man. I don't –
let's just say that Gervonta Davis and Josh Taylor do end up fighting each other. That's a boy from your hometown, a boy from my hometown. I think we're not going to be friends for 36 – wait for 36 minutes when that fight happens, if that fight happens.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you something, brother. Hey, nobody, I don't care who they are. Ain't nobody gonna stop you from being my brother. So that we ain't gotta worry about that.
Well, I appreciate that, man. That's likewise. Same here, man. It's the same.
That's
I
right.
get to see you out in New York for the Devin Haney fight. I was looking forward to grabbing a coffee with you out in New York, but obviously, you had your thing to do.
I'm sorry I missed you too. But I tell you what, coming up, obviously, in a few days, you got Canelo going against Sergey Kovalev. Of course, Canelo's moving up to light heavyweight. And, of course, Sergey's coming off a big win against Anthony Yardy back in August. What do you think about that fight? How's it shape up in your mind?
I'm not saying Kovalev is past it, because that guy is a beast. The guy's an animal. But I just feel Canelo's... he's just doing everything right at the moment. Do you know what I mean? He's picking the right guys when to fight them. And I think watching the Yard fight, I think that he sort of thought to himself, right, this is probably the right opportunity to fight, to face somebody like Kovalev. I mean, Andre Ward has shown that body shots do hurt him, and he can go down for body shots. Canelo likes a body shot. I see Canelo doing it. I don't know why. I don't know if he'll stop him, but I do see Canelo beating Kovalev. I just think, I don't know. I don't think Kovalev is past it, because he's not. But the man at light heavyweight right now is Berdibev, and he is the man at light heavyweight. But whether Canelo goes up, if he beats Kovalev and stays at light heavyweight and then goes after Berdibev, that'll be interesting to see if it does happen.
I totally agree, man. And one of the things I've noticed about Canelo and his growth over the years, especially the last 5 years after his fight with Mayweather, is his defense. And he really put on a display against Daniel Jacobs. And at one point, Andrew, Daniel Jacobs couldn't touch him. And I thought he was really impressive. And Canelo's always been a great body puncher. I think he'll take him out. I don't know if he'll be a knockout, but I think he'll win by unanimous decision.
That's how I'm seeing it as well. I'm probably on the same boat as you on this one. I can't see him stopping him, being that this is his first fight at light heavyweight. But I can definitely see Canelo winning it. I just can see him just being busier, landing the hurtful shots. I just see Canelo doing it for some reason. But whether Canelo stays, I mean, Canelo's been at what, light middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight. Mm-hmm. So he can fight anyone he wants in them four divisions. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy.
That's right. And the thing about Canelo is that he has such a following that whatever division he goes to, it's pretty much he's going to sell it out. It's going to be a big event for him and for his opponent. And I think that's something that Golden Boy has coveted for a long time. But like I tell a lot of people, if you're fighting Canelo in Las Vegas, you pretty much have to get close to putting him in the hospital to win. I don't think you're going to get – and, you know, people have a lot of opinions on the judging and boxing and this and that, but I've always thought that you fighting Canelo in Las Vegas, you got to really beat him because you probably won't get a decision. What you think about that?
I totally agree. Totally agree. It was the same sort of scenario with Mayweather in Vegas. You need to actually knock the guys out stone cold for you to beat the guys. They were always going to get the rub of the green. I think that's the same. Vegas is a money making place. And Canelo's the cash cow. If they keep bringing Canelo to Vegas, they're going to bring the fans. They're going to spend money in casinos. They're going to come to the. I heard you earlier on in your show mentioning that the weigh-in is an event within itself, as well as the fight night. So you've got two huge events there: the grand arrivals, the weigh-ins, and then the fight night. So it's not just like you go there for the fight. You go there for the fight week. You're spending a whole week there, spending money in casinos, clubs, and all this sort of stuff. So it's a whole week of just money making. Do you know what I mean? So. Yeah, you're right. Canelo, it's going to be a tough one to beat that guy. Yeah, he probably needs to fight Joshua or Ruiz or somebody.
Now, you brought up for a second, we were talking about the same, the weigh-in, then the fight the next night. And, of course, we've had some deaths in the ring this year, and it's came to the forefront in the eyes of a lot of officials in boxing. I was recently at Triple G against Derevyanchenko, and what I noticed during that fight night is that a lot of the fights were prematurely stopped, in my opinion. And I think they're probably a little gun shy because of the certain, you know, injuries and deaths that have gone on. What do you think about going back to what they had 40, 50, 60 years ago with the same day weigh-in? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know if I like that. I probably prefer that if you sort of combine what the WBC and the IBF are doing, if you combine the 30-day check weight, the 7-day check weight that the WBC do to make sure the fighters are doing the weight healthily, and then what the IBF do is they obviously have the 10-pound rehydration clause on the morning after the morning of the
That's
fight.
Right.
You can't come in 10-pound heavy. So if you sort of combine what the WBC do and what the IBF do, maybe add a little bit more to it. Like, I'm not a commissioner, and I don't know the ins and outs of making weight as in the professional ranks and stuff like that. So, but if same day weigh-ins probably will be a lot tougher because, like we said, the weigh-ins are an event in itself, for the fans and whatnot.
That's right.
And it probably is the reason that they've done it the day before, the 24 hours before, is because it was meant to be healthier for the fighters because they're not fighting after just making weight, cutting a lot of weight. Do you know what I mean? So, the best way to excuse me. The best bet is probably to sort of combine what the IBF and the WBC are doing by the check weights, 30 days, 7 days and whatnot, and then obviously get a hydration clause sort of put in the morning of the fight. I think that's probably the safest way to do it. But like I say, I'm not a doctor. I'm not doing anything. That's just my opinion. I could be completely wrong in this, and people will probably tell me to shut up, but I have no idea, which is true. I have no idea, but from the outside looking in, I think that's probably the best way to look at it.
Well, I mean, you know what? A lot of times when we, you know, as guys like us, we have an opinion. Obviously, we love the sports, but more so you, where you have a certain relationship that you have with a lot of boxers, especially over in the UK, and you know more about them or outside the ring. You form these friendships and you don't want anything to happen to them. You want them to come out to fight safe. So someone like you, I mean, you know, it's tough, man, because you don't want to see these guys, you know, walking around. And remember, you probably remember a fight going back almost 30 years ago, Julio Cesar Chavez against Mildred Taylor. And at that time, Mildred Taylor was one of the great fighters out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I don't know, from that fight started a downhill slide. And if you happen to catch Mildred Taylor now, I mean, it's kind of sad to see. So you don't want these fighters to go down that hill where, you know, you want them to stay safe. So hopefully all the boxing commissions and sanctioning bodies can get together and, like you said, really crack down on the weight as far as, you know, the hydration, and hopefully that'll help. But like you, man, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, you know, how they're going to go about doing that. But, you know, I just throw it out there because we care about the fighters.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Like, there was a Scottish fighter called Mike Tell, who died, I think, it was 3 years ago from a brain injury. So it's we definitely need to look into it, because there has been a lot more recent deaths. I think it was three in the last 3 or 4 months. Patrick Day being the most recent. Yeah, we definitely need to look into it, because it is a sport that we love, and there's no other sport like. Josh Taylor Regis Prograis, just that one fight made it, like, just shows you what the sport can bring. It's just an absolute, there's so much emotion involved in a fight like that. But again, as fans, as media guys, fighters, trainers, managers, we need to sort of do something to sort of figure out how we can sort of limit these injuries and whatnot. But like I said, I'm not a doctor. I just give my opinion on what I think is probably best in rehydration clause and the check weights and stuff like that to make sure every fighter is doing it safely.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's probably all I could really say, because I would like to see that, but like I say, I think that's probably the best way to do it.
And I'm not going to hold you too. I just got one more for you, and that would obviously be Andy Ruiz going against Anthony Joshua over in Saudi Arabia. Their rematch.
Sir.
And, of course, for people who don't know, Andy Ruiz stopped, you know, Anthony Joshua winning the heavyweight title at MSG, New York City. What do you got for that fight? Well, give me your take on what you think Joshua and his camp. First of all, have you spoken to, like, Robert McCracken or anybody from Joshua's camp to see how he's coming along?
I haven't spoke to anyone from Joshua's camp, but I've spoke with Eddie Hearn and stuff like that to see how he is on a few occasions. And there's sort of some rumours saying that he's slimmed down, Joshua. He's not as bulky anymore. Have you seen him with the Ruiz fight? He was quite muscular sort of thing, but people are saying he sort of slimmed down a little bit. But so is Andy Ruiz, so I'm hearing he sort of slimmed down a lot.
Yes, he did.
This fight is, like, I'm not confident. I would like to see Joshua do it. Obviously, keeping all the belts on this side of the pond, but
you're right.
I don't know. I'm just not. I don't know. Andrew Ruiz, man, he's just one of them guys. Like, I didn't expect that to happen on June 1st at Madison Square Garden. Did not expect that. It was one of them ones where you sort of, but like, is this actually happening? Is this Joshua's been down 3 times? The 4th time he's been stopped, it's like, what's just happened to you? But the thing I will say about Anthony Joshua is he lost in the Amateur World Championships, got a silver medal, came back and won gold in the Olympics. And then, I think it was his second amateur fight, he got dropped by Dillian White. And then within 6 months, he won the ABAs or something along them lines. So he knows how to come back from adversity and then get revenge on that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? He knows how to come back, lose, come back, and then win it all. Do you know what I mean? So there's that side of Anthony Joshua that people don't know and I've not seen before. So it'll be interesting to see this rematch. Maybe Joshua was overlooking Andy Ruiz, looking beyond him to see the Deontay Wilder fight, the Joshua fight or whatnot. Maybe that played a part in it. Maybe the concussion on the first punch, the first knockdown played a part of it. There's so many scenarios. I think this time you'll see the best Anthony Joshua, but again, you're more than likely going to see the best Andy Ruiz as well. So, if you have to force me for a thing, I don't know. 51-49 to Ruiz, I think. Maybe Ruiz just touching it. I don't know. I'm not 100% confident that Joshua can do it, just because the way Andy Ruiz fought that first fight, the hand speed and stuff like that was just ridiculous for a heavyweight.
Yeah, and
so
you're right.
Who do you think?
I saw Andy.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Who do you think?
Oh man, I guess you know what. I answered this question to a buddy of ours yesterday, and at this point, I'm like you. It's probably like 51-49 for Andy Ruiz, and I'll go back to the first fight. And before that fight, I happened to watch Ruiz maybe 4 or 5 times, and I noticed he had great skill for a big heavyweight. I didn't know if it would translate against a guy like Joshua, who's also skilled, but, on another level than the guys that Ruiz had fought before, previously. And I thought he was great. One of the things that surprised me was his chin. He was able to get up after the knockdown,
yeah,
and impose his will on Joshua. And I didn't expect that. Now, he has slimmed down. I don't know if that will be something that will be something that will help him or hinder him as far as winning again. But as I've stated before, and I wrote about this a few times, if you're a heavyweight, all the great heavyweights have lost. And the mark of a great one is to see if you can get up off that deck and see if you can win and get that belt back. And I think, I don't know, I say Ruiz by a slim margin, but we're going to see if Joshua has some dog in him and able to bring that back, that belt back to UK. So that's where I'm at with that.
I think with the thing with Joshua as well is we haven't seen much of him in this training camp. He hasn't released any videos. He hasn't done, he would release a video of him doing the battle ropes or something along them lines, but we've seen nothing. He's just been locked away, training quietly, preparing himself for this fight. So it's one of them ones. That's probably why I'm sort of edging towards 51-49, like we said, towards Ruiz, because I haven't seen anything of Joshua. Not heard anything from him, not even a whisper. So maybe he's going to come out here a totally different animal. And as you mentioned as well, Ruiz got put down by Joshua. So I mean, so
right,
Joshua can put him down, can hurt him, but I think he got the tactics wrong, trying to rush in and finish Ruiz when he should have took his time and tried to break him down a little bit more, rather than when he knocked him down, when Ruiz got up to try and go for the stoppage. Maybe he should have sat back, sat back and tried to break him down a little bit more, hit him with a shot again, hit him a few other shots. Because I don't think Andy Ruiz is one of them guys that goes down with one shot. You need to go for Andy Ruiz and break him down systematically, if that makes sense.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Before you go, the obvious question to you, what do you think about the return of the notorious one, Conor McGregor?
McGregor. That's a long time coming. definitely a long time coming. I think he's at home in the cage. He's at home in the cage, and his talk, I read somewhere that he's offered 50 Cent. He wants to fight 50 Cent. I've heard that Cowboy Cerrone's been mentioned as a possible opponent. And this is for December, isn't it? December time is returned.
Yeah,
so,
December.
I do like the Cowboy Cerrone fight if they can make that. I do like that for his return fight. Because Cowboy Cerrone's proved that he can hang with the top guys in any division, the lightweight division. I think he's it now. So if they can make that fight, then why not? Let's do it.
I
think it's definitely a long time coming, and he definitely needs to get back in the ring. That's where the cage, because that's where he feels more comfortable. Maybe keep him out of a little bit of trouble, but so hopefully get back to training, get back to fighting, and give the Irish fans, the Celtic fans, what they want to see.
I agree, man. Always, it's been a pleasure, man. You always bring some wonderful boxing knowledge to the show. Look, you're one of those guys who adds to my credibility, so I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your wisdom and give me your perspective from over in the UK. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Robert, anytime, my friend. Like I said, anytime you want me to come on your show or do anything like this, just give me a text and I'll happily do it. You know that, brother. You know that. And next time I'm in New York, let's go and grab that coffee.
My man, my Scottish brother, Andrew McCart from IFL TV. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Anytime, my friend. See you soon. Cheers, Rob.
All right. Good guy there, man. Great interview. He always, like I said, he always brings the heat. when he comes on the show, and he adds a perspective that I know a lot of boxing shows don't bring, and I try to bring that, you know, different perspective. We all can, you know, get on the internet, you know, just talk and voice our opinions and, you know, be done with it. But I like to, that's one of the reasons, like, why I like to go to the fights and travel to the fights, to get a feel of the people and the fighters at the weigh-in. I love being at in the front seat at the weigh-in, just to just really get a feel of the fight and the event. And I bring that to my Blog Talk Radio show, and having guys like him come on and tell us about what's going on up front and center over in the UK brings a really credible perspective to my show that I hope you guys really enjoy. But yeah, man, it's been wonderful having Andrew on, of course, and I'll be back with you guys Saturday before Canelo versus Sergey, and we'll talk about that and the pre-fight hype. Going to be surrounding that fight out at MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Of course, it's always a party when the Canelo fights there, so I'm looking forward to that. That'll be on DAZN, and it should be a good night of boxing. Ryan Garcia is also on that card. Of course, everyone thinks he's going to be a rising star. And I look forward to seeing him put in work Saturday night. So, yeah, man, it's been great, and I'll be back with you guys this Saturday. So thanks for tuning in. Till my next radio talk show, I'm Chilling with Cheese, and I'm out.